It is good to be here this morning as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection. Keep on learning more, as the song we sing, more and more about Jesus. We are thankful that it's a great Lord's Day this morning, beautiful day. And I have some fall sayings. And remember, fall is proof that change is beautiful. People, the leaves change, and people can change for the better. Another good saying, stay with Jesus, he never leaves. Stay with him, he never leaves. I want to talk this morning about the power of prayer. Probably do a series of lessons dealing with the power of prayer. In 1 John 5:14 through 17, I'll jump right in, so to speak. 1 John chapter 5, verses 7, 1 John chapter 5, 14 through 17. 1 John chapter 5, 14. The Apostle John, he writes, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And that word petitions, a thing means a thing ask, request. Petitions, a thing ask, request. And look at verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin not leading to death. I studied that back years ago. I didn't get that together. I couldn't get it together. And I do have commentaries. And I have a commentary by Brother Guy N. Woods, member of the church. He's been passed on now. And so I got one of his commentaries and looked at it because I couldn't figure that out. There is a sin not leading to death. That is a sin that people repent of. Confess it to God, repent of it, and get rid of it. That's a sin not leading to death. And then there's a sin leading to death. A sin leading to death are sins that people won't repent of. I remember back several years ago, a lady she just quit the church and had quit for a long time. And I told her, you know, if you don't come back, you know, we'd have to withdraw from you. And said, we're willing to be patient. We're willing to work with you. She said, just go ahead and do what you need to do because I won't be back. That was a sin leading to death. And thank God for Guy N. Woods and his commentary that he wrote. And then there's Mike Willis. He's got some commentaries out, a member of the church. Zer, members of the church. Nothing wrong with those. But we have to look at that. And we don't put these men up on a pedestal. Because they can make mistakes, but there's nothing wrong with reading the material or commentaries that faithful men put out. Remember, Paul told Timothy, commit thou the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And I remember back several years ago, I went to not Lost River, but 12th Street. Brother Crawford, we had to do some working together. And I went to 12th Street, the old 12th Street, and the preacher let us in the library, in their library. They had commentaries all in that place. They wasn't in there just to be in there. And so sometimes I talk to brethren, I said, now, Zara got some good commentaries that it might be good. You don't have to buy those, or they might be online now. Back when I was trying to get study and trying to preach, we had none of that online. You had to go buy it. And I got in some money on books. And I tell brethren, if you don't know what you're getting, don't be going to the bookstore buying books, because sometimes you can get junk. But there's nothing wrong with those books. And I, like I said, I want to thank Guyon Woods for his material, taking these verses and explaining those verses so I can understand, so I could learn. And so if you look at verse 16, I want to kind of look at this again. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. That's spiritual life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. This is a sin a brother will not confess and repent of his sin. That's that sin that's leading to death. And we know in 1 John chapter 1 and 8, we all, let's look at this, 1 John 1 and 8, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. Here's what John says about that, about something that we need to know. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what John says about it. But look what he says in verse 9. If we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what he says there. And so going back to 1 John 5 and verse 17, and then I'm going to get into the body of this here. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. And I hope I can get you to understand the fact that the sin that's not leading to death are sins that we repent of. The sins leading to death are sins that brethren just won't repent of. Now, I want to encourage God's people to persist in prayer. To persist in prayer. The privilege of talking to God is the right of every true child of God. That song that we sing, Just a Little Talk with Jesus, makes it right. And I don't know, when you wake up every morning, I don't know if you talk to God, just thank him for just waking me up. And if you don't, start doing that. Because it's a blessing just to wake up and just, you know, get started in for the day. Just waking up and thanking him for waking me up and starting me on my way. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. In the context of this passage, John has emphasized God's witness that we are indeed his saved people. We are his saved people. And John is writing to Christians. 1 John 5, look at 10 and verse 11 of 1 John chapter 5, 10 and 11. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has not, he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. The word testimony is from a word meaning witness. You can look at that word testimony when you go home. And what we receive from God's word, what we receive from God's word is all truth. And denominational people talk about their testimony. We had a guy to come here one time and he wanted to, and I didn't know he was going to have all that to say, but he just got up and wanted to talk. And I was polite, I just let him finish it. But he had a testimony. And he wanted to tell people about his experience in life and what had happened to him. And we don't do that here, the testimony stuff. Because whatever's going on in the world, you can read it in the Bible. Whatever people went through, whatever they're going through today, you can read about all that in the Bible. They went through the same thing back in biblical days and in the days of Jesus. So all we want to do is study the Bible. We don't do no testimony. We just study the Bible, and whatever I need, if I keep reading, whatever I need is going to hit me right in the face. Just keep studying. It's going to hit me right in the face. And so, if you look there, 1 John 5, and then look at verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We know that God has given us eternal life. How do we know this? By the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we know we have eternal life when we obey the gospel and continue to be faithful to God. If you look at verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. We are his saved people. There's no doubt about that. And when we go to God in prayer, we can go with confidence that he would do what he tells us that he would do. John declares one of the main reasons for this epistle. 1 John 5, and look at verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't have to guess about this thing. Oh no, ain't no guessing. we have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. _ continue to believe. We know we have eternal life, but we got to continue to believe. There's been those who have obeyed the gospel and stopped believing. They're gonna lose it. Can't do that. Got to be faithful unto the end. The conjunction of verse 14, let us see a connection in the assurance of salvation, which means we are indeed God's children, and so we have access to him because we have God's Son as the propitiation, atoning sacrifice for our sins. In 1 John 2, look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 now. 1 John 2 and verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation, atoning sacrifice for our sins, more than one, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. See there? There's just no excuse in people dying and not being saved. There's just no excuse for them dying outside of Christ. If you look at 4 and verse 10, 4 and verse 10, First John chapter 4 and verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. There we have it right there. This lesson will show the conditions of the propitiation, or the conditions of the petition to God. Petition. We see that in the Bible a lot. And the word petition means a thing ask. A thing ask. A request. And the confidence of the petitioner. We got to have confidence. If we pray in doubt, God wants us to have come to him with confidence. The conditions of the petitions. 1 John 5:14. We read it just a few minutes ago. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now here's the thing about that. The things that we ask for, it's got to be coming from the scriptures, from the New Testament. There's no need me asking for something outside of the Word of God. It's got to be from the Word of God. That's the way I understand this situation. We have confidence. We have boldness because of the relationship we have with God's Son. We have boldness. 1 John 5 and 12, which it's going to say here, we'll read it again. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, I'm going to read that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, a mediator is a go-between. It's a go-between. Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, talking about Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there we have that he's our mediator. Once again, what is a mediator? A mediator is a go-between. Christ, and I can see, you know, if you had to go to court, you get your lawyer. And your lawyer, I guess in one sense, he talks on your behalf. He's your mediator. All right? One man got himself in a big mess. And I seen this on the news. I mean, he got himself in a big mess. And he said he didn't want no lawyer. He didn't want nobody. He's going to do this himself. He didn't win. He did already was wrong. And then he going to try to fight the system. He didn't win that case. And I have to remember what that was. But he did something. And he tried to be his own, plead his own case. And didn't want no lawyer. And everybody was telling him, you better get you a lawyer. He said he didn't need no lawyer. Some people stubborn, aren't they? Some people just say they go do it their way, and he lost everything. As we talk about Christ, he's our mediator. He is our go-between, so to speak. He presently serves in heaven as our mediator. Hebrews chapter 7:25. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, 20, verses 7 and 25, the Hebrew writer. Hebrews chapter 7, 25. I'm almost done here. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Come to God through him. Since he also, or he always, pardon me, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. There's that word again. It pops up. Intercessions means Jesus pleads man's case for him. See, he pleads man's case for him. Intercessions is all Christ does for man in his office of high priest. Think of Christ in his office of high priest. He's looking out for us. While at the right hand of God, he not only saves men by his sacrifice on the cross, but he continues to work in their behalf after they become Christians. See, he's still working for us. Even though we are children of God, he is still working for us. We must ask according to his will. 1 John chapter 5, 14, which we already read that. It's got to be according to God's will. It's the things that we talk that we pray about, it's got to come from the system of faith, the New Testament. The meaning of this condition has already been stated. The things that we ask for, and I cannot emphasize it too much, got to be according to his will. Even Christ said, not my will be done, but your will be done. If you look at 1 John 3, let's look at this one here, and then we're going to, I have just a little bit more to say, then we'll bring it to a close. 1 John chapter 3 and 22. This is a good point too, by the way. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive. Do you believe that? That's what John tells us. And whatever we ask, we receive. But this here is going to be some conditional things that we got to do as well. From him, we receive from him, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay? Now watch this point here. He said we got to keep his commandments. Keeping the commandments include the obligation of consulting the scriptures to learn what would be right for us to receive. Okay? Let me say that again. Keeping the commandments includes the obligation of consulting the scriptures to learn what would be right for us to receive. It's got to come from the book. We must do things to please God. And so when we understand prayer, we got to keep his commandments. We have to, if I don't study, I'm not keeping his commandments. He didn't tell me how long to study. He just said to study. When we don't study, we don't keep his commandments. When we pray, he's not listening to us. Got to take some time to study. And I know we love the television, and there's some programs. There's nothing wrong with watching television, but we've got to take some time to study. When we don't study, we send God out on. But we got to take some time to study, and we got to take time to pray. We do those things that please him. And that's a lesson I'll probably have part two. I don't know how many lessons we'll have. But I'm kind of excited about prayer. I want him to hear me when I go to him. So I'm going to have to do right, and Christians will have to just do the right thing and study and study and study. If you're out there and you're not a Christian, you're listening, you need to be a Christian. Because you're not going to make it to heaven if you're not a Christian. I don't need to argue with nobody about this. I mean, that's the way it is. In the book, we have to be Christians and got to be faithful. One must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And then one must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. One must repent of his sins. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. Got to repent, change your mind. And what that means is change your mind and actions towards things that are wrong. You do it in a split second, can't you? We do that in a split second. Just change your mind and change your actions. Got to repent. Got to confess Christ before men. You got to do that before men. You can't get in some little corner and men, the person that want to be baptized, and I'm asking him, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And he just whispered. He got to say that before everybody. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He's got to make that acknowledgement before the congregation. He's got to do it. And Brother Keeble, he was going to baptize a gentleman. The brother heard the person heard the gospel. He believed it. He said he done repented of his sins. Brother Keeble, and he done got old, and he wouldn't pen on it. He said, and then Brother Keeble won't take him to the water. Brother said, oh, Brother Keeble, oh, you didn't take his confession. You got to take his confession. You can't run these things. And he wasn't intentional to do that. You can't run them around. We can do everything except not baptize him. That man won't be saved because you got to baptize him. And they took him and baptized him and had his sins washed away. And that song, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, you've left your first love, you need to come back to it. You can do that while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected.